I live in Augusta, Georgia, which is about 2 hours from Atlanta. And I have a 5-year-old little boy who's been very recently diagnosed. His name is Riggs, and something to celebrate. Well, we did a sight word tonight, and he has like 45, I guess, already. And tomorrow. I know. I think it's a little crazy for kindergarten. But anyway, I'm sorry.
I didn't understand what that was.
Oh, sight word.
So
kindergartners have like words that they have to memorize so they get 3 or 4 home.
Okay.
And his has been getting bigger, his list. So anyway, he probably knew all of them but 6. So I was super excited that, and at first he didn't want to review it with me. And then he got really excited because he was getting them right. And so he started to really enjoy doing it. So that was a win, probably.
Yay, that is awesome. Thank you. Cool. Glad you're here. Who wants to go next?
Oh, I can go next. I'm Joan, and I'm at Fairhaven, which is, 2 hours drive from Melbourne, and I've got 3 kids, Ruby, Sam, and Lucas. But Lucas is my 3rd child. He's 12. He's got dyslexia and ADHD and anxiety stuff going on, but he's, we've just had 3 weeks school holidays. And he's just had an absolutely fabulous school holidays because we've been at the beach and with his cousins.
Wow.
And he hasn't been taking any medication or anything like that during the holidays, which has been really nice. And just seems really, really happy. So he had a great holiday and just relaxed.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Very successful going sailing with his cousins and just having lots and lots of fun and being able to communicate reasonably well. And everyone's stayed calm, even when he's had his moments of getting a bit stressed, but mostly, you know, the rest of the family. I think when we're on holidays and there's not pressure around, people seem to be able to just be more comfortable, which is good.
Yeah. And so when does school start? Or did you say it already started?
On Monday.
On Monday. Okay.
That was good. Yeah, nearly there. Get back into it all again.
Yeah, it's nice to end on a good note, right? To have a wonderful trip before you move into the next phase. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Tammy, you want to go?
Sure. From Massachusetts, and I have 3 boys that brought me here to you guys. Mm-hmm. And well, actually 4, but one's in over at college now, out in the house. But they are 19, 12, and 10. And a celebration, actually, which is a huge celebration, is that school's been in just about a month now. And they have, the mornings have been going really well, actually. And they have not been late, but just a couple of times. So.
That's awesome.
Which is a huge, huge difference from last year.
Celebration, isn't it? I love it. And it's great that you're looking back and recognizing the difference, you know?
Sometimes oh, my
it's
gosh.
Easy to miss
it's, a huge,
it.
It's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference. Good.
Huge.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yay.
I
fabulous
know, right?
Celebrations. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I'm Jeremy. I'm in Kansas City. The child that initially brought me to Impact is my now 12-year-old, and he has ADHD and autism. And now I also have 2 other children with ADHD diagnoses. Sorry, and I am an adult with ADHD as well. And I'm celebrating the fact that we are all here on the call and that you guys took some time to do something for you and something for your family. I think that's a huge thing to celebrate. Okay, I'm hearing a beeping. If someone could put themselves on mute just for a little bit. I can mute you from here, but I hate to do that. Cool, thank you. So let's go through, we're just going to really quickly kind of go through some housekeeping stuff. And for those of you that have been here before, I apologize if this is repetitious, but I think it's nice since we have a lot of new people joining us over the next several weeks. To just kind of do a quick refresh on what all is involved in the parent success system, what kinds of things we do, and then typically how these calls go. So you guys should have all received a copy of the workbook. If you haven't yet already, let me know or send an email to the team at impactadhd.com, and they will make sure you get a copy. You should all be in the private Facebook group, and if you're not, either find me on Facebook and friend me, and I can add you myself, and it's Jeremy Wilkins Didier, or email the team at impactadhd.com, and they'll make sure they get you added to the forum. When you join the Parent Success System, basically we have two group calls per month and two lifeline calls per month. The lifeline call, first come, first serve kind of deal. So you call in, you have a question, a burning need, something that you really want a coach to address. And it's usually with Elaine or Diane. And they just take the calls as they come in. And they're usually really, really interesting calls. The Parent Success System calls or the group support calls are on the opposing weeks typically. And we have several different options you may have seen when you signed up. You don't have to always attend the one that you signed up for. You can change it anytime. You don't have to let anyone know, you know, this week, let's say the Tuesday call worked out better for you or the tomorrow call at noon worked out better for you. That's totally fine. Just show up when you can. As we always say, this program is indeed designed for busy parents of complex kids. So we don't expect everyone to make all the calls live. We hope that you can make, you know, maybe half to two-thirds. And then if you can't, that's fine too. You know, you can always go in and listen to the recording on the member's website. Let's see, what else? It's okay to dial into an older kid's call if you have younger kids and that's the only call you can make. Sometimes that's kind of cool to hear what's going on with older kids and vice versa. So don't ever feel that you're committed to just one group. It's nice to be able to get to know other people in your group, but we get it. You know, if a week something else works better, go ahead and do that. Let's see. Typically these calls are pretty interactive. You know, we're all here to share what has been going on in our lives, and I think a lot of the growth and development that our parents realize over the course of the year comes from listening to other parents. And I know there's been plenty of times in these calls where the insights from other parents have just been truly phenomenal. So we totally get it if, you know, you're in a space where you can't contribute or you can't talk, you know, if your kids are in the room with you or you're at work or something like that, and you can just listen. But for the most part, we'd love it if you'd be interactive and join us and share. Typically, we check in at the beginning of these calls, just like we just did. We don't always introduce ourselves. If we have a lot of new people, we might. But we always check in and celebrate. And then typically, we'll talk about the topic for the day or for the week. And then we take aim. Elaine and Diane take aim first and then talk about the topic. I usually do it reverse, but it just kind of depends on what the topic is. So, like, the topic for tonight is taking aim. And so, to me, it makes sense to take aim after we learn how to take aim instead of taking aim before. And usually after the taking aim and the teaching about the topic, you know, we'll have a good conversation about your experiences and your thoughts about what we've been talking about. And then if we have some time, we'll do a little bit of laser coaching. And usually that's just when we walk through a specific challenge. It can pertain to, it typically does pertain to the topic of the week. But if it doesn't, that's okay too. And then we check out. And when we check out at the end of each call, we answer the same four questions. You may have already seen in the workbook that the questions are exactly the same for every chapter. And that's because it really helps to solidify your action plan for the week ahead. And those four questions are, and we'll go over them again when we get to the end of the chapter. Hang on. You should think I haven't memorized, but I'm looking them up for some reason. The questions are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? Now, don't worry if all those questions sound bizarre or you're like, how am I going to answer that? We'll help you walk through it. And I think you'll find that it's really amazing once you have something in mind as far as an answer to the question, how you see that kind of be realized in the following weeks. So, okay, questions so far. That's a lot of talking for me.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Jeremy. It's Tammy. One of my kids just needs something upstairs. Can I come right back?
Of course.
I'm
course.
Sorry. I'll be right.
I get it.
All right. Thank you.
Don't worry. Bye. Yeah. No worries. Okay. Questions from anybody else?
Could I just ask the whole thing with wanting to make a comment when you've got a group? I haven't actually experienced group calls like this before. So what's the protocol in terms of just wanting to say something and you know, not talking over each other, or does it just work out as you go along, or have you got a system for that?
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, jump in if you have something you want to say. And I think typically people stop talking if they hear someone else talking. If it's quiet, I can call people out to save time. But I also don't mind it being quiet for a while too. So yeah, don't worry about it. Just jump on in.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions so far? Okay. All right. So let's just back up a little bit. If we were to take kind of a macro view of all the areas where ADHD impacts our lives, we identify, is it six? Yeah, six different areas. I added a seventh one in there for some reason. emotionality and impulsivity, organization, relationships, life logistics, impact on the parent, and school challenges. So those are the six probably top areas where we find that our complex kids have challenges. And so if we work through the impact parent model, and you can find this in your workbook, it's written out on page 8, and there's a really pretty picture of it on page 9 if you want to take a look at either one. You don't have to have the workbook in front of you during these calls. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, that's fine too. You don't have to have done the reading before you come to the call. Sometimes it's helpful, but we typically cover it in enough detail that you can catch the gist of it. I try not to say exactly the same things, so you get something different if you did do the reading. But there are six steps, to the parenting action model, and everything starts with taking aim, which is what we're going to talk about today. But just to give you an idea of where that fits into the model, so you take aim on the challenge or the specific area you want to focus on or you want to change, and then we do education, right? We become a detective. We get really curious. We find out what's really going on, what else might be going on that we're missing. We talk to other people, we do some research, whatever it is we need to do to educate ourselves about what we're taking aim on, we do that in step 2. Step 3 is about planning, and that's when we kind of decide what our options are, and we try to establish a plan based on what we call 4 critical response areas, activating the brain, shifting expectations, parenting positively, and using systems and structures. So you'll note that we don't create a system or a structure until step 3. Step 4 is acting on the plan. Step 5 is wash, rinse, and repeat. So hopefully the plan goes well, and if it does, then we just keep doing it. If for whatever reason the plan isn't successful, then we're going to back up a couple steps and start over again. And then the most important part of our model is self-care, because as everyone says, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And particularly parents of complex kids, we're all really good at putting ourselves last, and we really need to put ourselves first more often so that our families can be successful and we can be successful. So, again, that's a lot of words, and I apologize, but I do find that it helps to have an idea of how this whole thing works. So taking aim. Taking aim, again, it's the beginning of what we do. It helps us decide what we're going to focus on, what our topic is going to be, kind of the area that we want to see the change in for the next couple weeks. And so we're going to ask you to get really specific, and if you're not sure how to do it, don't worry. We'll walk you through it. But, if we were to think about, like, taking aim on the morning routine, that's too big because there's 1,000 steps from, the bedroom to the bus stop. And at any point along the way, our kids can run into trouble, and we can run into trouble with the routine. And so I'm going to push everybody to take aim on something even more specific than that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's practice, I guess. So if one of you would like to try and take aim, let's see how that goes. What's been coming up for you? What's an area that you really want to see a specific change in?
I could offer something, I suppose. I'm thinking because we're getting back to school again after having 3 weeks holiday and have had a very happy time and where there's no pressure. But just one of the things that's really, really hard is kind of just getting up in the morning and getting out of bed, especially when my son Lucas starts to sort of, and I imagine he's going to get, once we get home, he's going to start getting really anxious and start saying he doesn't want to go to school at all. So for me, there's something about kind of trying to make it, I just really like it not to be, maybe it's just about helping him to the problem is, like probably everybody experiences it, you know, if he doesn't get out of bed on time, then everything else just concertinas into a disaster. Because there's not enough time to have breakfast, and there's not enough time, and there's pressure, and then my husband's driving him down to the train station, and he ends up frustrated because he's going to get late for work, and and then, you know, so there's something about just actually getting out of bed in time to give us enough time so it doesn't, maybe that's the first step for me.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. So you're focusing on just that one part, that getting out of bed, right? We're not focusing on getting dressed or eating breakfast or anything. We're just step one, getting out of bed. I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Who wants to go next?
This is Kelly, along with that morning routine. Him getting dressed, like after we eat breakfast, it's kind of like I've done the things like, okay, you've got 5 minutes to get dressed, and then, okay, you've got 2 minutes. And my husband sometimes approaches it where he's like, okay, you've got to get dressed and be out here, you know, whenever. He'll just sit in there and play unless we physically go in there typically. I mean, we'll have some good mornings, but most of the time, lately especially, it's just been he'll just go in there and play. Again, he's five, but he's five and a half. But, that's difficult because just like waking up, if he's going to take 20 minutes to get dressed, and that puts off brushing the teeth and brushing the hair and getting the shoes on and getting the backpack, and it's a domino effect.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so getting dressed, right? And getting dressed, doesn't matter where he gets dressed? Getting dressed in his room?
Getting dressed in his room. Like, he can do it before everything. Whenever he wants to do it, it's fine. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he has a chart. And I told him I don't care about the order. He just has to get them done.
Gotcha. And does he wear a uniform?
I've tried
or can he just get dressed in whatever?
Okay, that's fine, but you've got to do these four things.
Right.
And that's either way, we seem to have issues.
Right. And again, I mean, that's very, very normal. Very normal for ADHD kids and for kindergartners too. So
don't
get discouraged. Yeah. Now, does he wear a uniform, or can he wear any kind of clothes to school?
He wears a uniform Monday and Friday, and he can wear regular clothes the other day.
Okay.
I know. It's a magnet school. I don't know why. And they only do it in kindergarten. I don't really know why, but anyway.
Huh. Okay, cool. Yeah. So for most of the time, he can get dressed in his room and whatever he wants to wear. He just needs to get dressed.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yep.
So I just took that one step further just to make it a little bit more specific. So I just find that helps. You know, if you're picturing him in his room and you're picturing him in whatever clothes he can put on, then that gives us just a few more parameters in terms of tightening that taking aim piece. Cool. Tammy, you're back. You want to join us or take aim for us?
Sure. Mine would have to be the first step that happens when he gets home from school, the 12-year-old.
Okay.
Because usually it's a friend who's waiting for him, which can't happen because that's catastrophic. this particular person gets out of school about an hour and a half earlier than my son does. So, you know, so we just have to work on some things.
Okay, so I just need to ask you a few more questions just to make sure we understand what the change is that we need to see. So is the change making sure that he doesn't cross paths with a friend until homework is done? Is the change...
Yeah, they're in the same class together, but this one boy gets out of school every day earlier than the other kids because it's a special program. Having said that, he's waiting, for my kid to come home, so they can take off and do fun boy stuff, take whatever they do, take bikes apart or whatever.
but this is not working out for me. So.
Okay. And so, to take that a little bit further, so we just need to, is
yeah.
there a time frame where it's going to be okay for the friend to come over, or is it not during the school week? Is it not certain days?
Yeah, we just need about a half an hour to brief, that's all. And so we just have to manage it a little bit better. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're taking aim, if we had to summarize that up a little bit, you're taking aim on the first half hour after school and making it a no friend zone?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Which is difficult because he had no friends last year at all, none, and none over the whole summer either. So this is like the first friend. I mean, this is like a huge accomplishment, you know. But I just need a little breathing from, you know, when I get home. So
before I have somebody else's kid in child sitting in my house.
So let me ask you this, because you just brought up something else. Is the change more for you or for him?
I think it's for both, because he starts his play date time with his friend about, you know, an hour before school lets out. So, you know, then the last hour of his schoolwork, you know, is not happening because he's focused on playing. Yeah, you know, whatever they're going to do after school is the problem.
So he mentally checks out at school.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, isn't it? So, so we need to do that. And that's for him. And, you know, I need to kind of get them squared away before I let them loose with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need to do like a little check-in or something. So.
Gotcha. Check in.
Yeah.
And does homework need to get done during that time, or is it just a time to kind of check in and make sure everybody's on the same page for what's going to happen next?
Exactly. That's what it
is.
We need to. So.
Okay.
I just run my house different than these friends, which is totally fine. But I need to know where they are and what they're doing and when they'll be home and all that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I'm a real stickler about that kind of stuff.
Sure. So do you mind if we kind of stay with your take aim for a little bit and kind of walk it through? Just so that other people on the call can kind of hear how it goes, how this would play out. Okay,
of
so
course.
If you're going to take aim on, you know, kind of creating this home check-in time before everyone goes forth and plays or does homework or whatever, what kinds of things are standing in the way?
Well, to be really honest with you. I'm still like celebrating from the mornings being great, because last year was so incredibly horrible. I haven't like gotten to the after school part yet. You know what I mean? So honestly, that's where I am. I was just, you know. So, I just got kind of caught up in the mornings being so good, and then even making it through school without having to pick anybody up. That's been kind of a huge celebration as well. So,
yeah.
I literally wasn't thinking about the getting home part, let alone the having a friend part, just because last year was so devastating.
This is a wonderful and exciting and fabulous new challenge to have, right?
Exactly. So I'm kind of a few lengths behind him. You know, he's kind of really taken off way ahead of me. You know, so I kind of wanted to stay in celebration mode a little bit longer, but you know.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah.
Well, is there a reason why you can't stay in celebration for a little bit longer?
No, there is no. There's no reason at all, because I'm just enjoying that part. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway, but yeah, I have to set up a little bit of a check-in time. So.
Okay. And so what kind of things are you going to need?
But my first step, this other boy has a cell phone, and my son does not. And my son will not for a long time. But anyway, he has a cell phone that he's been taking to school. So my son has been texting me from this kid's cell phone during the day at school. Yeah, so it starts at like 12:30, you know. Come and pick me up, I'm tired, you know, all of this kind of thing. So the playtime starts really early, like halfway through school. They have this big plan set up, right? So I have taken steps to have the cell phone put away during class time, which I don't even know why he has, but, you know. But I've done that. I've done that a couple of times already, you know. So hopefully this time they'll take it away. So that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay. So that's a good first step, right? Because once, you know, if he is able to remain engaged for the amount of time that he's at school, then that's going to go a long way to kind of maintaining that when he gets home for just a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. He just hasn't fully gotten that part yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's an action step that you're willing to take for the next couple weeks or over the next couple weeks to move this plan forward?
Yeah. Probably over the weekend. I need to sit down with him and just let him know kind of what the new plan is. And just say that we can't be planning the whole day while you're at school, kind of a thing, because it's just not working for me.
Okay. Are there some things that you can plan if he wants to have a few things that are kind of regularly scheduled events? Are there some things that you can plan for after school every day?
Oh yeah, he can plan them, just not during school.
Gotcha.
I mean, not instead of doing his work.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so when you think about having that conversation, do you have everything that you need? Is there time this weekend that you guys can sit down and discuss it? That sort of thing.
Yes. Yes. Yes, as long as I'm clear on it, it'll be okay. There's one thing that's keeping me from doing it, and this is going to sound really dumb, but
he just had such
a horrible year last year. I kind of hate to ruin this fun.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful? It was so much easier with the other kids that are neurotypical.
Not at all. No, I think that makes perfect sense. And what I'm wondering is that if there's a way to honor both of you, you know, because you have a value around the checking in and the making sure that everyone knows what the next steps are. And you also want to honor the fact that he's had this incredible, incredible experience and that you want that to continue and stay kind of in the pink cloud. And so I'm wondering if there's, you know, a baby step or something that will meet your need for making sure he continues to stay focused and yet continue to reinforce the fact that he has come so far and done so well.
Exactly. See, you get it. See, this is why I call you guys, because you get it. You get one. No, people look at me like I'm out of my mind.
We don't care about that.
Well, my heart was, I mean, you know, I tend to lean on the compassion side. It's just been a hard year.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's hard to do the other part. Yeah.
Remember, we don't really know what those people are thinking. That could be just the way their faces rest, right? If we're going to, you know, make something up about what's in their mind, we might as well make up something positive. They're probably, again, looking at us like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how she does it. It's amazing. Or look how far this thing has come. Isn't that great? I mean, that could be exactly what they're thinking. We don't know.
That's probably it, I'm sure. I'll just take that and just continue walking along, so that's fine. But you know, what do you do, right? But yeah, probably my first thing is just to go over the cell phone thing with him. Because that's more natural consequence stuff at school, so it's kind of off my back a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's scary, scary stuff happens with the cell phones.
Helpful.
Our kids meaning too, even. Yeah, as you know.
Yeah.
Joan or Kelly, you want to join in? You got any ideas that have bubbled up as we've been talking?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how I would focus in on making changes. She seems so good at already knowing what she needed to do for her child, and I have no idea where to start. So
that's okay. We can help with that. You probably know already. I find a lot of the time people already know. They just don't know they know. Sometimes it's just a matter of asking some questions to kind of help the picture become clear. Joan, any thoughts?
You're asking me about my thing that I wanted to take aim on? Or about?
We can do that. I was just wondering if anything for you is that talking with Tammy. Sometimes
one of the things that came up that I wondered about was just whether it's possible to, like, I've tried this with my kids, but just to make a plan for the week rather than a plan every day, I don't know whether that would work or not, but, or to make a plan with the other child about, you know, when we'll come and meet, but I'll come meet you outside at this particular time. I don't know whether that's an option, but sometimes when I've found that, like, those sort of those things where my son gets a bit kind of obsessive about needing to make plans, anticipating that and saying whether it helps even in the morning before school, like after school today, you're going to meet your friends, which is fantastic, but we're going to come home first and do this, and this is the time that we're going to meet your friends. So I don't know whether that would make any difference at all.
But, no, I think it's a good suggestion.
A plan in advance might, depend on the child, of course.
My kids are going to do every day this week.
I don't know whether your kids do the same thing, but my boy always, he just likes to know in the morning, what's the plan? What is the plan?
Yeah.
What's the plan?
Yes. Yep. Particularly my son.
He often asks me that question before I actually know the answer. I'm going, I don't actually have a plan. I don't know.
It's so true, though. We like to have the plan. Yeah, you always have to be careful, though, or at least in our house we do. My son with autism gets very upset if the plan changes. So we try not to plan
too far
ahead. But, you know, I mean, we can kind of ballpark the week usually. You know, here's what you're going to have after school this day or this day. Whatever is going to work best for your kid and your family, I think that's it. Planning is always helpful. So, Kelly, do you want to focus a little bit on what you're taking aim on and see if we can walk through it a little bit?
Yeah, so I get his was, you know, getting dressed, just getting dressed specifically in his room. And, I mean, we don't do it for him, but just so he's not laying there playing or, you know, doing whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have to get dressed and we've got 5 minutes left. And you know, but I will say he's one of those kids that, like, when you say, I'm going to set a timer or I'm going to count to whatever, he freaks out. So that is the last thing my kid wants.
Yeah. That doesn't work for our family either.
Set a timer and just give him 5 minutes and he'll know what's coming. And I'm like, maybe for some, but it doesn't work really well for mine. He makes him very anxious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and that's actually very common. I hear that quite often, as a matter of fact. So you did say that when you come into the room, that he'll get dressed. So I know a lot of kids with ADHD require a body double or someone just to physically be there in the room with them to get started, to get going on things. Is that something that works for your son?
It might. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of an easy one. If that ends up working and you know that he just needs someone there to say, do this next and keep him on task. It's always nice to have that information because it makes the planning process so much easier. And later you can apply it to homework and you know, other things, brushing teeth or whatever. So that might be something to pursue. When you ask him what he thinks he needs or what would help him get dressed in the morning, what does he say?
He wants me to dress him or dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're
against that. My son also has enchoparesis. I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't.
Okay, so enchoparesis
but I don't know that word.
A child becomes terribly constipated and they withhold when they get anxious. and they will, so they have accidents. So he's actually done. Yeah, the only reason that his pediatrician is like, the only reason I'm saying you may want to try medication at five is because he's done so well with his ankylosis. I don't want him to get frustrated with school and start withholding as his coping mechanism.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not asking anybody. I know that that's my husband's and my decision. That's not anybody's decision but mine, and we still haven't made that decision. But where I was going with that is we had to see a counselor for that, and she was very specific that we do way too much for him, which was like a year ago. So let him get dressed on his own. Do not bathe him. He is old enough to do all those things by himself, unless it's like very tiny buttons, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that a 5.5 year old needs me to get him dressed. I think that might be a little bit much. And I, you know, is that just, am I just doing that for expediency? I don't know that I'm teaching him any lessons by just doing that to make our morning easier, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, and just so you know, I think there are lots of families who do end up dressing their kids just for expediency, you know, in the mornings. And I've heard some up until third and even fourth grade that have done it, and it just made the mornings go easier, and that was fine. And the kid practiced getting dressed, you know, by himself on the weekends, and when they weren't in some kind of time crunch, and you know, for the rest of the week, the parents were more than happy actually to do that. But it's like you said, it's every family's, you know, personal choice. It's whatever you're okay with. And so if you have a strong value around what the counselor said about making sure that he is doing the things he can do independently, then, yeah, you've got to honor that. And so hopefully the body double thing is all he needs.
Yeah. So just go sit in the room and just be like, all right, it's time to get dressed, and just sit there until he is dressed and then go from there. And now it's time to go brush your teeth or whatever.
Yeah, well, see if that works. I mean, I think we can consider this kind of like the get curious, you know, educate, investigate type phase. You know, what is it that's going on in there? Would it help to have him get dressed someplace else? You know, maybe if he's in his room and he sees his toys, then that's too distracting. Should he get dressed?
Yeah.
You know, in the kitchen, or I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Could he go to sleep in his clothes? You know, so he doesn't even have to get dressed the next day. He's already in it when he wakes up.
Yeah.
Might be interesting just to see. Okay.
Okay.
And so
those are some good ideas.
Well, let's pick one. So let's say one action step that you're willing to try. In the next.
You know, I think we're going to try getting dressed in the kitchen because I think the toys are a huge distraction in there.
Okay.
So cool. I think that, awesome. And plus I would be there. I mean, we're in the kitchen cleaning up for breakfast, so somebody would be there. So I guess you would.
Good point.
You could do best.
Awesome. And so is there anything that you need to set yourself up for success in that area?
Just maybe the night before, maybe just go ahead and put his clothes in the kitchen, just so that's just one less step that we have to do. So he picks his clothes out the night before.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. You think he'd be comfortable changing clothes in the kitchen?
Oh, yeah. He would walk around naked if I would let him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Please get dressed. Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, I'm curious to hear how that goes. That's great.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, sure. So we try to start really small. That may not feel like a really big, you know, aha or a big step forward. But if we set ourselves up for success by taking some baby steps to begin with, then it makes it a lot easier to focus on the next thing instead of trying to tackle this giant, you know, morning routine type thing where there are just too many areas where we can go awry. So let's just see how that goes. I'm just curious. And if you're open to it, we'd love to have people share in the forum how it went or ask for ideas. Yeah, cool. Joan, you want to walk through your take aim a little bit?
Okay.
Try to take it through the model real quick?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So remind.
So my thing was just getting up in the morning out of bed. And with enough time. Yeah, in a timely sort of way. So our thing is that he needs to leave at about 7:45 at the latest to go catch the train to school. And so we've been telling him to get up at 7, which seems like it should be plenty of time to get to,
get off. But if he doesn't get out of bed at 7, like if he gets out of bed at 7:15, then everything seems to, but everything takes a long time. So
he needs a full 45 minutes
all,
to get ready.
He could probably do it all. Yeah. He could do it all in about 15 minutes if he just got out of bed, got dressed, ate food, came in, brushed his teeth and left. That would not take very long. And when he's on other days when he's just going to do something fun, he can get ready to go in rapid, no time at all. It's
right.
So
shocking.
Not an
it?
Issue about. Yeah.
Right.
So the issue is really about, it's to do with not wanting to go. Like, he just doesn't want to go. And so it's delaying.
He doesn't want to go to school, or he doesn't want to get out of bed because he wants to sleep, or both?
He doesn't want to go to school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that new, or is that typical?
No, that's been pretty it all the time. Like, he just doesn't find. Well, often the thing is, once he gets to school, he'll be okay. He'll get there, and his teacher will tell me, even though we've had a really, really hard morning, I might send a message to his teacher and by email, and she'll send me back a message. So he's walked in and he's been a bit slow to get going, but now he's going and he's engaged and he's happy and he's good. So I know that once he gets there, he's okay.
Okay.
But it can be really hard.
It's just the transition.
To get there. Yeah.
But once he gets out of bed, then he goes through the process pretty well, right? Am I hearing that right?
No, not necessarily. It might be that he then takes ages to get dressed, or so he's decided that he wants to get out of bed and lie on the floor and get dressed inside. He's covered up inside his doona so that either he wants his clothes to be warmed up by the heater before he gets dressed, or that whole thing of having to then and of course he's 12, and his brother, when he was 12, used to just get up, get dressed, come downstairs, eat breakfast and leave without us having to say a word. So it's kind of one of the things that I've found very helpful is that thing of shifting my expectations to go, well, actually, that's not a reasonable thing to expect this thoughtful Lucas to be able to do, because just because Sam could.
He's not there yet. Yeah.
Well, he's not.
Very good.
So he kind of then needs, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like having me hovering over him, telling what to do every step of the way, but it seems like it doesn't actually happen unless I say, right, so we'll go in there, wake him up, going to need to get up and get going, go back in another 5 minutes and still not up. And then don't want to go to school, and then you just get this whole thing of sometimes it's right, well, I just, it might be that we've got to I might be 7:20 and then I'll start to feel like we're running completely out of time here, and I'll just then grab the doona off and get quite harsh with him and say, right, you've got no choice, get up and dress and start speaking a harsh voice, and then he doesn't like that and get upset, but sometimes he'll resist until I kind of snap, and then he'll get upset, and then he'll finally do it, but he'll be doing it in a sad way. And then once he's up and out of bed and dressed, then then the next thing is to get him to eat some food, which is he'll then resist
challenge,
not want ever whatever my husband's already made him toast, it's sitting there on a plate gone cold. And then it just seems to be then we've got to just march him out the door, and he goes off and I feel awful.
Yeah, he's I think we've all been there.
Yeah, they're
the bad
days.
I want to make sure.
Yeah.
No, we've all been there.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been there yet, then we've all had those mornings where we really are glad that we're not on the reality TV show, because if someone played the video back, we would be horrified.
Oh my God, that woman is.
Yeah. The thing that we need to remember is human too, right? And we also need to remember to forgive ourselves. And part of this process is recognizing the things that trigger us and setting realistic expectations. Like you said, you know, it's not realistic for your 12-year-old. And remember, he's 12 chronologically, but developmentally, he may be more or even 8, depending on what areas of his life are impacted by the ADHD and the executive functioning challenges. And so we have to set our expectations as we would for an 8 or 9 year old. That said, it's still a challenge, right? So in the mornings you walk in and, or his alarm goes off and you say, get out of bed. And then what typically happens the first time?
The first time he'll just say, I don't want to go. It's too, turn the light off. I don't want to get up. Turn the light off. He'll go out again. I need to get up in 5 minutes. I'll come back in 5 minutes. And then go back and he'll say, right, it's 5 minutes, time to get up. And, yeah, he'll often not want to get up. It's a school bag. Right. I'll just sort of talk it all through. It's time to get dressed. Here's your clothes. Pull his clothes out of the cupboard. Put them on the floor. I'll often stand there tidying up his room, putting things away, doing stuff while I talk to him, because I just don't particularly like standing there doing nothing, wasting my time. There's that cajoling thing that happens. And sometimes he'll get up and get going, but sometimes he won't until or just be incredibly slow. Why do I have to go to school? So everything's horrible. I hate school. Nobody likes me. There's no point to school. I'm stupid. I can't read anyway, and there's no point in going. I don't learn anything there. I don't want to. Like, he'll just give me
Very normal. Very normal. But if we're just focusing on getting out of bed, let's stay there. Let's stay in the getting out of bed piece. And that first time that you come in to tell him to get out of bed, and then you give him 5 minutes and you leave to go, I don't know, get dressed or do stuff that you need to do. Is there any reason, what would change if you stayed in there that first time?
I don't know. I might be standing there watching. I might start the whole thing a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So I suppose I could just stay there and keep on. Or I could. The thought that's coming into my mind is, like I said, on holiday, he gets out of bed first, and then he comes into my bed often and gives me a cuddle, and we have a nice time. and he says to me, "Mum, come on, get out of bed. Come up." He wants me to get up, and I'm saying, "I don't have to get up today."
Interesting.
I have to climb into bed with him, and give him a cuddle. Like that might help.
You know what? It might. It might.
Yeah.
I know one family that has they have tickle wars in the morning, and to get people out of bed, and they turn it into a game. You know, some people do use the timers. They don't work for a lot of people, but some people make it a race. You know, between the siblings or between the parents. If you choose to medicate, some people give the medication a half hour before they need the kid to be up, so that the medication is kicked in. Let's see. I mean, I know you know all those things. Finding the one that works.
Yeah.
And what's coming up for you? Does any of that resonate?
Because we've never tried medication before he gets out of bed. I don't know whether that. It's hard to know. He's mainly taken that when he's eating his breakfast.
It's a choice that, you know, you guys make together, obviously. I know a lot of people have had success with it, but a lot of people are also really concerned about getting a really good breakfast in, and they found that if they give the medication early, then their child may or may not eat a solid breakfast. But it is helpful with the morning routine. But then you may find that it's wearing off sooner than you need it.
That's all about balancing it, isn't it?
That balance.
It's hard to tell exactly how long the medication is working anyway. I don't know. I think it just helps him really get started for the day. But and it's certainly Yeah, I think, I mean, there have been times, as I suppose there are, where he does seem to respond to a conversation in advance about something that is a challenge. So I suppose I could even have a chat about, you know, sometimes it gets hard to get out of bed while we're still in holiday mode. We don't want to get into that situation where it's really difficult, and what could I could ask him to think about
what's going to be different.
What I could do to help him. But let's try and, you know, make this work a bit better, and really we have no choice. He has to go to school. There's no way around it. But how can we make the morning? Whether he wanted to be woken up a bit earlier so he could lie in bed a bit longer. I mean, I have... but it might be that that thing that you talk about getting buy-in from the child, so that it's his plan.
He's old enough to have a conversation, for sure.
As I was saying, he does like having plans. Maybe it's useful for him to actually tell us what his plan is in the morning for getting himself ready.
Really?
I don't know.
Cool.
I have tried sort of thinking about that sort of thing before. He says, well, I just don't want to go to school. I don't really care if I'm late. It's not my problem. So I'd rather be late. But he can get into, when he's in a very stubborn sort of, he's a pretty smart kid. So he,
of course, all our kids are.
Gets into the.
So is that a solid baby step or a solid action step that you're willing to take?
Yes, I think what I'll do is I'll have the conversation before the term starts and say, look, just acknowledge that we all get sad. It's not nice to anybody for him to have to go off to school feeling sad. So how can we, what does he need us to do to help him? I was hearing somebody else talking about alarm clocks before, and now whether he'd like to be in charge of the timing for himself, I don't know if that might work. He does have a phone, so he could put the timer on his phone. And I don't know.
I think
probably
that's a great
what I
place
need to do is have a conversation with him, just to get him to actually start participating in this goal that we're going to try, which is to get up and get going. So because he knows that he can do it.
Right.
And
so is there time between now and Monday for you guys to have that conversation?
Yep, definitely. Yep.
Okay, perfect.
There
perfect.
Is.
That sounds awesome.
Good. That's a good plan.
Good. Good plan. Yeah.
Yay.
So,
good plan.
Yay. But always try to be really cognizant of the time, because I know that, I mean, particularly on our evening calls, and I know it's daytime for you, but some of us probably have
hours ahead of me.
I know. It's almost bedtime for my kids here. So it may be past bedtime for some of your kids.
Sure.
But so typically, you know, in calls, we wouldn't be able to get as detailed as we did with everybody. At the end of each call, this would be the time when we went through those questions. But we ended up kind of going through the questions with everyone, which was kind of great to have that opportunity to walk through the system and the process. And so if between now and our next call, if something happens and you're not able to follow through on your action step, that's totally fine. We're not going to be sitting here going, okay, you committed to doing this and what happened? It's all about the process. It's all about, you know, learning what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, there's plenty of time to try different things, or you may have found something different that works better. But don't feel like you have to come back and report on how things went unless you want to. And if you want to, that's totally fine too. But the point, again, is for us to forgive ourselves and love ourselves and remember that there's always another opportunity. And just because whatever didn't work this time, something different may come out of it that will work. So I guess with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. Any questions or concerns or last minute anything before we check out for the night?
Thanks, guys.
When you talk about the small.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, when you talk about the small steps. So there's this app that's called U-App, and it's all about like taking small steps in your life. And how, like, these small steps can add up to big things. So, like, I'm just going to use weight as an example. Like, it's not, I'm going to work out 5 days this week. It's like, okay, I'm going to stretch before bedtime, or I'm going to make sure I get 10 minutes of walking in somehow today or whatever. And so when you add those little tiny steps together, they end up being a much bigger thing, and they're easier to swallow, if you will, than, you know, I'm going to commit to 5 days of exercise this week or whatever. I don't know. It's a kind of cool thing. And so, like, you kind of take a picture of where you are, and you can, you don't have to share your picture. It can just be your picture, or you can share it with the community, whatever. So I don't know. Uh-huh. It's kind of a cool thing, and it's a self. I mean, I think it's a self care. It could go in the self care thing that you're focusing on this one
I
thing
love
for you
it.
Every day. It's rest,
yeah.
or you know, it has to do with rest, movement, exercise. I mean, like, I wouldn't call it meditation, but some sort of like mindfulness. It's cool
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. So
yeah,
anybody
yay. Will you share that in the forum?
Capital YOU. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be great. I think because we're always looking for good stuff like that. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Definitely post it in the forum because I'm sure there's plenty of other people who would like to try that. That's
okay.
great. Cool. Thanks.
It takes 2 seconds. So it's not like some self-care that you have to go for, you know, an hour a day
hours.
Or something like that.
No, I love it. That's perfect. Perfect for our community, without a doubt. Yay. Nice. Good stuff, guys. All right, cool. Thanks for a wonderful call, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
you
very
you.
Much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.